There's a story of a young lady that gives her very best. And I think being a Christian, I think that's what it's all about. Look at the scriptures with me, Mark 14. Start with verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Well, that makes you want to cry. Boy, people just misunderstand you and judge you. Said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. Y'all ladies ought to underline that right there and hang it up in your kitchen. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout all the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. Father, help us today. A beautiful story about a beautiful woman doing a beautiful act. And I pray today, God, that you would put this spirit of this woman in us, God, and help us to give our very best. And Lord, I pray today that you'd move on our hearts. Lord, there might be one here today that's just that one step from being out of church, out of your will. Just one Sunday from not even being in your will anymore, not even being in church, and will suffer the consequences in later days. And then, Lord, there's some in here today, they're doing the best they can, and others have criticized them and talked about them. And then, Lord, there's others in here who want to do better, but they don't have the courage, and I pray you'd give them the courage. And then, Lord, there's some in here today might just be completely out of your will and just thinking about quitting altogether. And I pray you'd revive their hearts today. Help me as I preach. Put a guard at my mouth. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. But give me liberty to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. A real touching story. This man had leprosy, and the Lord healed him. So he invited the Lord to his house and had a big feast for him to celebrate and to thank the Lord for healing him when in his time of need. Now, his disciples, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, all of them was there. And all of a sudden, Mary moved toward the Lord, and she was holding in her hands this little alabaster box. Now, alabaster is a very precious thing, and it's very expensive because it's so rare and it's so precious. It's very expensive. And it was full of anointing oil. And she took that box and she broke it open and she poured it over the Lord and she anointed him. And she didn't know it, but he said it in a later verse. She anointed him for his burial, for the death that he was about to die for her and all sinners, that we could all be saved. Now she anointed him, and that box was worth a lot of money. And what was she saying? I thought about what was she saying by doing this. What does that signify? Well, to me, it signifies to me that Mary may not have had a whole lot, so she gave the very best that she had. Now, normally these boxes were reserved for a young woman. She would get one, and I don't know how all that went through there, but the Old Testament talks about it. And a young woman would get this for her marriage. And the man that she was going to marry, when he would ask her, one of the signals was that she would go to him and break that box and anoint him with her oil for saying yes. So it was a very precious thing. It was also a loving act. It was an act of love. And she didn't know that she was doing it for his burial. She was just saying, Lord, I love you so much. I'm going to give you the best I have. I'm going to give you what I would have gave my husband if I'd had a husband. And I'm going to anoint you with this oil. And it's not everything I have, but it's the best that I have. And I'm, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And she gave him the very best she had. Think about that. I found this poem, a little short poem. She was saying this, take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Now that was a sign of her marrying the Lord. She gave herself to the Lord. And you know what? When we got saved, we became the bride of Christ. And we married Jesus Christ. And I know I pick at Rick that he's going to be a pretty bride one day when the trumpet sounds, 6'4", 205 pounds. But we're all going to be a pretty bride. And one day, when we accepted Christ, we entered into a relationship just like husband and wife. And we swore and we made allegiance that day to him and all to him and nobody else. And that's why we call it faithfulness. We call it faithfulness. Now, I thought about a couple things. I'd like to be like her. She gave her very best. I think I've done that several times, many times over the years. I've laid my all on the altar. I've restarted. I've started over. I've never had to rededicate, but I relayed it. I'd lay it up there, and I'd say, Lord, here I am. I'm not much, but what I am, I give to thee. And I'm not the smartest, but you can have me. And I'm not the richest, but you can have me. And I laid it all on the altar, and that's exactly what she was doing that day. She was laying it all on him and saying, I love him so much, I'm going to give him the very best that I have. He's not getting my leftovers. She didn't give him that old jewelry she had. She didn't give him an old dress. She didn't give him something that was old and worn out. She gave him something that she had reserved for the very best man that she would ever meet. And she had reserved that thing, and it was a treasure, and nobody else could have it except the one that she loved the most. And she found the man that she loved the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought, what can we give to the Lord? What can we? We're in the New Testament age. There's already been a death and a burial and a resurrection, so we can't anoint him with the oil. We can't wash his feet. We can't bring him over to the house for a feast. So what can we do? I don't have an alabaster box. What can I do? Well, turn to John 21. John 21, real quick. Look at John 21. Now, in John 21, in verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, they know, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. In verse 16, he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Well, I can see him crying now. Well, you know I love you. Wouldn't it be something if you could hear out loud the Lord to say, Ron, do you love me? Billy, do you love me? Do you love me, Linda? Do you love me? Boy, wouldn't that be something? Well, you can. As you read this, when I read this, I see my name. I hear my name. I do. And so verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Well, I tell you what, there's three great things I think we can give him our best. I think we can give him our best love, don't you? Don't you think that I don't have a box of ointment to anoint him with? He's not here to do that. It wouldn't do any good anyway. The death is done. The resurrection is done. What can I give him? I can give him what that box symbolized. I can give him my best love. Amen? I can give him my best love. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and boy, we had all these love songs, you know, and we've come a long way from "I Want to Hold Your Hand," haven't we? But we had all these love songs. We sung about love. We talked about love. You don't hear that anymore. It's all lust now in these songs, and it's all sin in these songs. But you know why all those songs talk so much about love? Because back then, the age that we grew up in, a lot of people, most people knew the Lord. They knew the love of Christ. They had experienced the love of God in their hearts, and their children had not. So we heard about it, but we never experienced it until we met Jesus Christ. And you know why I got saved? Yeah, I didn't want to go to hell. I had a fear of hell. Everybody does. I did. But you won't really know why I got saved. A big old man stood up there with tears in his heart, and tears run down his eyes and a broken heart. And then he said, "Please don't go to hell. Nobody has to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to step over the top of them to get to hell because they love you. God loves you so much, He gave His Son. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you." And did you know that the love of God is what brings mankind to repentance? Now we get fear. Yeah, we have fear, but fear is not what brought you to repentance. It was the love of God shed abroad in our hearts that brought us to Him. And you know what? I don't have any box of precious ointment, but I do have love. I can love Him with all my heart. I can love Him. Are you listening? I can love Him above everything else. Now, my daughters here, I love my daughters. Don't mess with them. I love them. I love my wife. Don't mess with her. I love my mama. You better not mess with my mama. She'll whoop you herself. I love my mama. But let me tell you something. Compared to what I love Him, it ain't even love. Now, and look, any of you Christians, you understand what I'm saying. And Jesus said that Himself, that we have to love Him more than we love our fathers and our mothers and our children. But, hey, I love them so great, you know what? I'd die for them. And I love Him more than that. So, if I've got anything I can give Him, I've never had a lot of money. I wasn't born rich. I wasn't even born close to rich people. They lived on the other side of town. I didn't even know any rich people. When I got saved, I had debt. I didn't have no money. I just had debt. And so I couldn't give Him money. I couldn't give Him looks. I didn't have much looks. I couldn't give Him intelligence. I didn't have much intelligence. I couldn't give Him an education. I didn't have much of an education. All I could give Him was the best that I had. And the best that I had was just like this woman. And all she had was that she went there to show everybody that she loved Him more than she loved possessions, more than she loved money, more, as we'll go on in the story, you'll see, more than what people thought about her. She loved Him. And she gave Him her very best. Now listen, we can give Him the best of our years. We can give Him the best of our years. You know, I started preaching when I was about 24, 25 years old. I was licensed in 81. I was already preaching. I was licensed in 82. I was ordained in 83. And the church that licensed me, ordained me, not even there now. They've been disbanded and bought by somebody else. And that's kind of sad to me. But all of those years, you know what? I wasn't a good preacher. I didn't know how to preach, but I did the best I could. I gave Him, hey, listen, I've given Him the years of my life. Somebody told me one day, I've done all kinds of jobs since I've been preaching. Because, see, I'm not the kind of preacher people call to do revival. I'm the kind of preacher that just sticks right here, you know, and you have to endure me to the end so you can be saved. But all those years, most of them, maybe 10 of them, I didn't have to work a full-time job. But all those years, I'd have pretty good jobs, and they'd try to promote me, and every time it would interfere with me serving the Lord, and every time I'd have to say no. Every time. The last one, selling insurance. Boy, they wanted to make me a manager. They wanted me to do this. They wanted me to do that. And I said, no, I can't do that, because that would require me loving it enough to give my all to it. And this is secondary. This is not my first love. And I'd have to tell them, I do this to pay bills. I don't do this because I love this. Because those people love what they're doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you love your job, that's wonderful. But this is my job. And I've given him my years. If you love him, you know what? You say, well, I ain't got no money. Well, you can give him your years. You say, well, I don't have many years left. Well, give him the ones you got left. I saw a man, blind man, black man. I was preaching revival down there in Sherrall at the nursing home. They have a revival down there once a year. About 100 people show up at revival at the nursing home. And they have like a church in there. And I was preaching. And I saw a 90-year-old black man come down the aisle with tears dropping off his cheek. And he got saved at 90 years. You say, well, what good is he? Well, I don't care if he ain't got one more day, one more week, one more month, one more year. He can give him what he's got left. Amen. See, a lot of y'all quit too soon. You quit too soon. Some people say, well, I used to serve the Lord, but, well, do you not love him as much as you used to love him? That's like a man saying, well, I used to work and feed my family and pay for a place to live so they could have a place to live and something to eat and clothes to wear. But I quit work and I don't work no more. Well, does that mean he loves them less? Apparently it does. Amen. You can give him his years. Some of y'all got a lot of years left. There's some young people in here. You could give him your years. There wouldn't be anything wrong with you laying your life on the altar at the feet of Christ and saying, Lord, my years, they're the most precious thing I have. I don't have money, I don't have talent, but I got years, and I'm going to lay my years right here on this altar, and for the rest of my life, you can do with my years whatever you want to do with them. And then I thought about this. We can give them our talents. Everybody's got some talent. Everybody's got some talent. You got some. I kid around. I say, well, I can't read music. I can't sing. I don't know anything about music. I can't even play the radio. But you know I'm lying. And you know I only do that so that you'll sing with me. I don't have talent. I know I don't have talent. What I have is hard work. When I lead the singing, y'all saw that song we tried to sing a while ago. That wouldn't have happened uptown with a high-paid choir song leader. I don't have talent, but you know what I decided? In that area, as long as there's a need, I can fill it by working hard at trying to do it, and that might be some talent in there. Amen? Well, I don't sing in the choir because I can't sing. Shame on you. Shame on you. Everybody's got a song in them. A lot of you ride down the road listening to the oldies and you sing along with them and you know every word and you sing out loud and you don't care who hears it either. Why wouldn't you love the Lord enough to do that? Amen? Some of you got talent with people. People like you. You could be a good witness. You could be a good Sunday school teacher. Just give him what talents you got. You say, I ain't got much. She only had one. So all she had was one. She gave it to him. You say, well, I don't have any talent. Some of y'all, believe it or not, I come in this church and I can tell you who cleaned the church. Because some of you do it better than others, because some do it as unto the Lord and some do it as a chore. Come on, help me. Everybody's got some kind of talent. And by the way, when you got a good choir leader, you don't need any talent. He's going to tell you how to sing. Amen. And when you ain't singing good, he'll stomp that foot. And he'll tell you, louder, louder, louder. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, everybody's got some kind of talent. He didn't save you for nothing. He'll use anything you got in a wonderful way. We used to sing in children's church. We'd sing, God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. Woo! I feel him all over me. You got something. There's something in there. It's got some talent. Yours is plucking a guitar and singing. Amen. Listen. You may not think that your talent's as good as somebody else, but she didn't. Hey, that never occurred to her that my box and my ointment is not good as anybody else. Here's what she thought. This is the best I've got, and it's the best I am, and I'm going to give it to my Savior because I love him. He'd have took a frying pan if that's what you had. Amen? She gave what she had. And you know what that verse also says, Rick? It says she did all she could. She just did it. She did what she could. And there's a lot of people, you say, well, I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't. Well, why don't you just do what you can? Mad at me? I don't care if you are. I'm giving the best I got. Amen. Amen. Now, why should we? You ever thought about this? Why should we? Look at John chapter 1. Calm down. I'm almost through. John chapter 1. Look over there. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. He's the living Word. Look down at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why should we give Him our ointment? Why should we give Him our box? Why should we give Him something so precious? Why should we give Him our best? Number one, because He's worthy. He's worthy. Who else is worthy? He's the eternal Son of God. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior of men. He's our Savior. He's worthy of your best. To give Him anything less is an insult to a holy God and the Creator of the universe. He gave His best for you, and for you to give anything less is a lack of faith and a lack of belief, and it's an insult in the face of a holy God, the one that sent His Son to die for you, the one that gave His best He gave on Calvary for you. Some of you got kids, and you do for them, and you do for them, and you do for them, and on Christmas they give you some socks. And you don't say nothing. You just sit there and you smile and you lie and you say, boy, what a wonderful present. You didn't have to give me anything. After you've done all for them, after you paid their light bill, after you helped them with the car payment, after you loved them and put up with them when nobody else would, and you changed your old nasty diaper, and you was awake all night while they cried sick, and you took care of them, and they give you some socks? You'll know, had one man, I ain't calling his name, I tell you his initials, Billy said he's going to do better next time. Socks? You gave me some t-shirts after all I've been through, and I've always given my best. I went to work when I didn't want to go to work, and I put up with people I didn't want to put up with so I wouldn't lose my job, and I denied myself of the motorcycle and the boat. I didn't get a Harley so you could get some help, you could go to college or do whatever you had to do. And I'm not preaching to you, you know that, don't you? She does better than that. I'm always preaching to the one that's not here. All, that's right. All you have done, and they give you socks, and you lie, and you say, oh, well, it's the thought that counts. No, it's not. Thought produces action. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If they really loved you like they ought have thought they loved you, they'd have got you some shoes. Or some of them, a new car would have been fine. They got the money. Come on, help me. Quit treating your kids like they're broke when some of them are rich. Why do we... Well, preacher, why would you say that about your parents? Because your parents gave you the best. They didn't abort you. They didn't give you away. They stayed there and put up with your teenage years. I'd rather change a diaper than put up with a teenager. What you laughing about? You just starting to lose your mind. Wait about 3 or 4 years. We won't even recognize you. Help her, Lord, help her. We put up with your teenage years and the drama. The drama. Especially if it's female. Well, why you get so upset? We gave you the best we ever had. And you give us handkerchiefs for Christmas? Some of you don't. Hey, some of them give nothing. Well, preacher, why should I give my best to the Lord? He's the Lord of glory. He's the eternal Son of God. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He suffered the cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. You ought to give Him the best you got. You know, somehow Mary realized all that her Lord had given and was about to give. And even though she was probably constrained by some good advice, she went ahead and gave it anyway. Man came up to me one time after I was called to preach, said, Brother Ron, said, I don't know about this preaching stuff. I said, I don't either. Another one years later, after I was working with children for years and years and years, and I went to pastor for the first time, that same man came up to me and said, Brother Ron, I don't know about it. He says, you do real good with these kids, and churches are blessed by what you do. I don't know about this pastor and stuff. I said, I don't either. When I started this church right here, a man came up to me and said, Brother Ron, I think you need to stay where you're at. I don't know about starting this church down here. Well, I said, I don't either, but I can look back now and see the one I started from don't exist anymore. I think I made a pretty good choice by deciding to give him my best then. People used to come up to me and they say, Brother Ron said, you're too strict on your children. You keep them in a bubble. You keep them separated. You're too strict on them. That's what they'll tell you, Aunt Belinda. I said, I got news for you. I'm trying to protect my children. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to protect them. And by the way, I'll hold them up against that guy's kids any day now. Even your children don't understand it. But what you're doing, you're giving the best you have. You're giving your best time, your best advice, your best tears, your best tribulation and trouble to your children so that they don't have to grow up into heathens. And you're giving it your best. None of us are perfect parents. We make stupid mistakes because maybe we weren't taught right in the first place. But we give it our best, don't we? And the Bible says one day those children will come back and call you blessed. They'll bless you for what you did. They might fuss and fight about it right now. Well, everybody else goes to the prom. Well, you ain't prom material. Well, everybody else gets to go to these parties. Well, you ain't the partying kind. Amen. Well, everybody else gets to stay out of church on Sunday night. Well, you ain't staying out of church on Sunday night. Why we have to do all that? Well, we got a book we go by. They don't have a book. They just playing it by ear and they're going to fall in a ditch. Amen. We gave it our best because why? We hated our children because we were wanting to be dictators and mean. No, sir. And by the way, that's the same for foster parents. Man, God bless a man that'll be a foster parent and take in kids when nobody else wants them. Hey, we didn't do that because we hate them. We did that because we loved them and we gave our very best. And it may not have been best as the guy down the street, but it was the best I had. And it's the same with loving the Lord. Look, we'll give Him our very best because He's given His best for us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He cared when we didn't care. He was watching out when we weren't watching out. He intervened when we didn't even want Him to intervene. Amen? Thank God. Somebody say something. Amen. Now, did you know that we love Him by giving Him our best so that we can enjoy His best? Look at John 15. It's 12 o'clock. Time to go. Don't count on it. John 15. Some of you are going to give your best to something else tonight. I need to give you my best while you're here. John 15. You say, you ought not say that, preacher. My pastor don't say that. Well, maybe he needs to. John 15, or maybe he don't. John 15, look at verse 11. He said in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my," underline my, this is Jesus talking, "these things that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We give Him our best only because we can enjoy His best. He said, "I'm going to put this in you." He said, "I'm going to put this in you so you can have the very best. I'm going to put it in you." Now, like it or not, we're human beings, and most what we do is selfishly. We do things for what it will do for us. Are y'all with me? And so therefore, sometimes He has to give us. I used to drive those buses. We'd have a bus full of kids. People say, "I don't think you ought to bribe kids to go to church." I said, "I'm not bribing them. I'm rewarding them." Bribe is when you do something wrong. Somebody's wanting you to do something wrong. You bribe them. Reward is when somebody's paying you back for doing something right. And so God's not bribing us in a way. He's rewarding us. But selfishly, we look at it selfishly and we think, "Boy, if I do this, He's going to do that." Well, that's okay. He gave you permission to do that right here. I'm going to put my joy in you that your joy might be full. Come on, help me. Is that not what everybody wants? To have a joyful life? Now, we're to give our best because He's given His best. He died on the cross. He suffered the shame. He redeemed us from our sins. Hey, He took hell on Himself on that cross. By the way, He didn't go to hell. And those preachers on Facebook that put on there, "He went to hell." He didn't go to hell. He suffered our hell on the cross. He didn't go to hell. He went to the heart of the earth to set the captives free that were in paradise, not hell. But He gave His best on that cross, suffered, died, so that we could have His best. John 16:33. I'm not going to turn there way up past time, but did you know we serve Him and we give Him our best? But not only, look, now, not only because of joy did it give, and by the way, it will give you joy to serve the Lord. But because it gives us a peace that passes all understanding. Now, most everybody here has made a profession of faith. If you haven't, you'll have an opportunity. But most of us here have. And have you ever noticed when you're in the will of God doing the best you can do, have you ever noticed what a peace it brings to your heart? Have you ever noticed when you're out of the will of God, not giving Him your best, what problems it causes in your heart? Sleeplessness, nervousness, irritability. You know, a lot of couples, they start fighting and fussing all the time because they can't get along with each other. And then the reason for that is somebody's done something wrong that's never got settled. So then it goes up another step. They fuss and fight more because they fuss and fight. And there's no peace there anymore. And what we have to do, we have to get right with God and serve Him. And when we give Him our best, the peace that passes all understanding comes in. Now, unless you've been doing it a long time, when you lay out of church, you don't have the peace that day you ought to have. Don't tell me you do. You're lying if you're a child of God. When you don't come back Sunday night, you don't have the peace that you'd like to have, that you ought to have. When you don't participate in the church, you don't have the peace that God wants to give you. Are you still with me? Amen. 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 Listen, Now we'll give him our best because he gave us his best, and it gives us joy, and it gives us peace. And real quickly, just put it to the bottom line. How's this going to end? What's in it for me? What will there be as a result of our giving our best? Turn to John chapter 12 real quick. Is anybody cold? Some of y'all look like you're cold. Anybody hot? John chapter 12. So everybody's lukewarm. Still in a Baptist church. John chapter 12, verse 5. Some of y'all catch on to that joke after a while. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 5. Look at it with me. In verse 5, he said, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, some people are going to object to you giving your best. Immediately, people questioned why she was allowed to do that. Immediately, they were murmuring. Immediately, they were criticizing. Immediately, they were misunderstanding. Immediately. And you know, people are going to do the same thing about you. You're going to leave friends and kinfolks at home on Sunday while you go to church, and they'll say, "What, you don't love me enough to stay home this Sunday?" Say, "Yeah, but I got somebody I love more than I do you." And whenever you start tithing, people's going to look at you and say, "You giving all your money to that church?" And you say, "No, I'm not giving all my money, but I'm giving my best money. I'm giving my first money. I owe the Lord for I owe the television company. I owe the Lord for I owe the internet company. I owe the Lord for I owe the phone company." Some of y'all in here got phone bills so high, I don't even know how people exist with them. Barney would say, "Nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it." I mean, you're living for them like you're living for God. And but listen, some people's going to criticize it. They're going to murmur it. They're going to say, "You love me." No, you love that church more than you love me. No, you say, "I love the Lord more than I love you." Some people say, "Well, you love that church more than you love a new house. We could buy a new house if you wasn't giving all that money to the church." Well, number one, I want you to look at them and say, "That's a lie. 10% of what I make would never buy a house." Amen. And then look at them and say, "You spend more than that on lottery tickets." Some people's going to object. Judas spoke out real quick. He said, "What a waste of money. This could have been given to the poor. Why didn't we sell it and give it to the poor?" And the Lord looked at that hypocrite. Did I say he was a hypocrite? You find them everywhere you go. And the Lord looked at that hypocrite and he said, he didn't say it in this word. This is a South Carolina translation, okay? "You dumb as a box of rocks, Judas. The poor you're always going to have with you. There will always be poor people. I don't care what the Democratic Party said. There's always going to be poor people. That's just the way it is. They make choices." And he said, "You're going to always have poor people with you. And you can do that. Give to them. Show them how much you love them anytime you want to. Don't take the dedication, the love, and the sacrifice that you was going to give it to the Lord and go give it to the poor. You can give to the poor every day." And by the way, you'll never read where Judas ever gave a dime to anybody. Hypocrite. Usually people that talk like that are hypocrites. Now, that was a wonderful thing. A lot of people's going to object. But you know who's going to be pleased? Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. And look, the person that's going to be pleased is the Lord. It's going to please Him. Now, I don't know about you, but my number one priority is to please Him. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me, as long as I please Him. Husbands, you please the Lord. It ought to please your wife. If it doesn't please your wife that you're pleasing the Lord, your wife needs to get right with God. Just lay it out there on the table. It's that simple. Wife, if you want to please the Lord, you want to live to please the Lord, and your husband doesn't agree with that, then your husband needs to get right with God. His heart's not right. It's that simple. That goes for your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your workmates, whoever might criticize you for living for the Lord. You go to church all the time. You're a religious fanatic, all that stuff. Listen, those people don't know anything about God, and they don't know anything about your heart. Your heart is you're trying to please the Lord. And if they don't like that, they need to get right. And you need to ignore what they're talking about. You leave a liberal church, you come down here to one of those fundamental fanatic churches to lead the choir, that somebody over at liberal church is going to say, he's lost his mind. He's went over there, that bunch of fanatics, and he's over there leading that choir. And I've heard that preacher on the internet. He messes up the English language. Who could listen to such a thing? Amen. You wasn't supposed to say amen right there, brother. You're supposed to say, praying for you, preacher. But I get it, brother. I understand. Amen. People's going to criticize you, ain't they? So, what will be the result? Well, they're going to object. They're going to criticize. But the Lord's going to be pleased. And in the end, you know who really... take your whole list of who you think needs to be pleased, and he better be at the top, because he's the one you're going to face in eternity, and he's the one that's going to reward you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. He's the one that's going to do that. A lot of people I love, but I'm not leaving. Look, I'm not living to please anybody above him. I want my daughter to love me. I want my wife to love me. I want people to get along with me. I want church members to love me. But I'm not here to please you. I never was here to please you. And any pastor that comes to please you, he's not pleasing the right people. And I'm going to put a shocker on you. You're not always going to be pleased with what I say. And you're not always going to be pleased with what I do. But if I'm doing it as unto the Lord, you ought to be pleased for the purpose that I'm doing it. Amen? And you're the same way. Your husband may not always be pleased. Your wife may not. Your children, your grandchildren, your people you work for. But what they ought to do is look at who's at the top of your list to be pleased. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to throw it right here. And I don't have it written down. It's 15 after, I know. But somewhere on your list of who to be pleased, there needs to be an order. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, my wife, my spouse, my boss man, he's paying me. I got to please him. I ain't get many amens on that, brother. Give me one. My boss man. Amen. Did you know your children, your grandchildren will be lower on that list? Because they're not smart enough to know what should please them, and they're not spiritual enough to know what they need and they don't need. And a lot of times they're going to disagree with you so bad, it's going to make you think, I'm not doing right. I'm doing something wrong here. When all the time you're trying to please the Lord, you're right on track. And by the way, years later they'll come back and thank you for staying on track. And did you know, last but not least, other people will be helped? If you will completely, 100% give your best to the Lord, it'll help other people. Old philosopher said, and the Bible does in different words, but no man dieth unto himself. There's no man an island. No man's an island. Every one of you, there's people that you touch. In the business world, they say this: everybody has at least 100 points of contact. Everybody. If you think they don't believe that, one time we had a microphone that went bad. Bought it from an old Tandy store. They don't have them anymore. And I went to the store, and they charged me to send it off to fix, and they charged me to get it back, and it still wasn't fixed. And they said, well, we charge you for the sending and receiving. We didn't charge you for the fixing. I said, I just paid $20 for something you sold me that wasn't no good. And I paid for it the second time, $20 for something that wasn't no good. It cost $120 to start with. I said, who can I talk to? I said, "Where's the manager?" Just a little old boy, you know, he didn't know. Radio Shack. And this other little boy walked by in his high top tennis shoes, and he looked at that and he looked at me and he kept walking. And I said, "You're not going to try to do anything to please me?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Okay, they had cards up there." I said, "These cards right here, is this your headquarters?" He said, "Yep." I said, "Okay." So I sat down and I wrote a letter all about what all happened. And I told whoever was in charge of the repair department, I said, "I'm not a big preacher. I don't have a big church." I said, "But as you know as well as I do, we all have at least 100 people we come in contact with." And I said, "I have at least that many preachers I come in contact with. And they have at least that many people they come in contact with. And they have at least that many people that they come in contact with. And I'm going to tell every one of them what you did to me." A few days later, I got a telephone call. "This is Mr. So-and-so, the president of the repair department of the Tandy Company. I want you to know I got your letter. And I want you to know I put it on every desk in our company. And I want you to know I've sent it out to every salesman in our company. And I want you to go back over there and get your microphone, another one." I said, "I'm not going back over there. They mistreated me. I'll never go back in that store." I said, "Those kids don't know what they're doing. I'm not going back there." He said, "Well, where's the next one?" I said, "I don't know." He looked it up. He said, "It's in Pineville." I said, "I'm not driving all the way to Pineville." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to send you one in the mail." I said, "Amen." And they sent me one in the mail, and they sent me my money back that I spent trying to get the other one fixed. And he thanked me for everything I did, for everything I said. Now, you listen to me. Every one of y'all come in contact with at least 100 people. And did you know that when you do the best you can for the Lord, they see it?
You're right.
Did you know they're looking for somebody that's doing the best they can do? Did you know that whenever you do the best for the Lord that you can do, all those people are helped by it? Some that are discouraged, go back and read the story. Some that are discouraged are encouraged. And some that's under conviction get farther under conviction. And some that's fallen by the wayside will get back on the right path. And those that's doing the best they can will be encouraged by you doing the best you can and giving your very best. And thereby they'll give their very best. And more people will be saved. And listen, God will get more glory. And is that not what it's all about? Him, not you. We give him our Sunday best clothes, or we should. He ain't heard that in a long time. I put on my Sunday best and went to church. Now they wear stretch pants. God help them. God help them. Now they wear leotards to church. God help them. That's underwear. Put a dress over it. Amen. Listen, we bring in our best offering. We give our best offering. We give 10% or more. We ought to give more. I do. We ought to give more. One day when I die, I want y'all to look at my giving record when I'm gone. I'm not preaching something I don't practice. Listen to me. Well, to give our best, our first fruits, not our last. Here's what most Baptists do when it comes time to take up the offering. Well, before you get home, before you go to church. Well, there's my house payment. There's my power bill. There's my car payment. There's my internet. There's my eating out every night because I'm too lazy to cook. Oh, yeah, I forgot. There's my gas money. Well, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe next week. Or you just say, well, I got a dollar left. A $1 bill and a $20 bill ended up back at the mint where they made them because, you know, they destroy them after they get real old. And there's an old, wore-out dollar bill, old, wore-out $20 bill. And the $20 bill looked at the $1 bill. He said, you know, I've been everywhere. I've been to the Riviera. I've been to Las Vegas. I've been to New York. I've been to Manhattan. I've been to London. And he looked at one and said, where you been? He said, I ain't never been nowhere but Baptist churches. Leftovers. Leftovers. That's not your best. I'm not preaching on money. If that bothers you, you need to do better. We're to give our best talent in the choir, teach, preach. I know I'm over time. Some of you ain't come back. I'm giving you my best. Did you know at one time he took you when you had no best to offer? You had nothing to offer. And he took you anyway. And now he's given you talent, and he's given you treasure, and he's given you time. You'd be dead by now. You wouldn't have no time left, some of you, if God hadn't took you. He gave his best so you can have time, you can have treasure, you can have talent. He gave you the talent, and now you want to get on America's Got Talent and throw it away. Amen. Now you listen to me. I won't give him my best. I ain't much. I've never been much. I didn't come from much. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm going to give him the best of not of this little bit that I got. And little as much if God is in it. We're not the biggest church in town. We never will be, by the way. Never will be. You can't preach like this and have the biggest church in town. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. We'd have church split after the church today if I preached like this in some of those churches. But we can give it our best. We can give it our best. Let me ask you, what did you give him this week? What'd you give him? Well, I came to church today. Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo. In Greek, that means, well done in that area. But let me tell you something. I won't give him my best. I won't give him. I'm not much. But what I am, he's going to get it. And I don't have much, but what I've got, he's got it. Amen? So today, I challenge you. Do like that woman. And she took her very best and she offered it to the Lord. And whatever that means to you, whatever that means to you, you know what it means. God's talking to you right now. Why don't you do it? You'll have the joy of the Lord and you'll have peace that passes understanding. And that's what you're searching for anyway. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. Never change.